Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. We'd like to welcome everyone and remind you that Missing Pages of History is a talk show that is dedicated to lifting up underserved communities. And we like to fill in our missing pages, the history where underserved communities have not been given the proper credit and information as relates to their contributions to the world and the world development. As always on Missing Pages of History, we talk about what's going on in the neck of our woods and news that we can use. And that's where we're going to start off today. We ask now, listen, audience, we'd like to for you to call in today at 818-337-0016. We'd like to know what's going on in the neck of your woods and what are the various hot topics that are coming up. So to start us all with news we can use and what's going on in the neck of our woods, we have with us one of our contributors and analysts, Emmanuel. As always, he is very insightful in terms of information, and we'd like to bring Emmanuel in and welcome to Missing Pages of History and share with us with some hot topics or news that we can use. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you. Super Bowl. That's what's happening in my neck of the woods. But a couple of things happened I thought was very important was voter ID. That's something that the public has put out there. There's no fraud. The fraud is 0.001, but they're trying to do anything they can to cheat or curtail the election in a way they possibly can. So the photo ID is the big thing they've legislated. Now, we're about to have a photo ID, so that's pretty hot here. NAACP is pushing some of the wording in the legislative message. And seems like that's going around in most states now, especially southern states or Republican-controlled states. That's what they're trying to do. So look out, people. They'll do everything they can very aggressively to make sure they can try to buy the election with the Koch brothers, who say they are contributing $889 million toward the general election in 2016. They haven't picked a candidate yet, but the former young man that ran against Obama, he's declined to run again. That was actually former governor of Massachusetts, Mr. Romney. So he decided not to run after all the steam he did a couple of weeks ago that he wants to run. But that's the biggest thing that's going on at the moment now here at NAACP, challenging the Voting Rights Act, that the new Voting Rights Act for state that they're trying to control. And once they get state control, they can go back and try to change the Electoral College from the popular vote. They're going to try to do everything they can to get the presidency. Other than that, that is the news I have here. Oh, I forgot one more, that the governor of North Carolina, Governor Corey, he gave his State of the Union address and didn't contain a whole lot that's useful, as usual, trying to conquer and control certain things that the state legislation being, some is being controlled by the federal government. And they're trying to get the federal government out of the thing so they can do what they want to do. And believe me, what they want to do is to make sure that black people do not measure up to what whites are doing. And the gaps, they're not going to close the gaps. They want to widen the gaps. So it's very concerned, money concerned. They want to widen the gaps. Because like I said before, the Republicans only worried about their pockets, what they can steal. Wherever the money goes, that's what they want. And again, they don't worry about everything else. It's prison. How many can we put in prison to keep our quota numbers up so we can make money because the federal government is paying for that? They're not going to try to challenge that because they like the money coming from the federal government. But this is what's going on in your town and other towns across this country. So please be on alert and read and act and understand exactly what's going on. It's going to be a new day, the Republicans say. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure that you stay where you are. They want 66% of you making money below the poverty, below the poverty level. So these are the kind of things you got to look out for. You're trying to live in a country that's very economically sound, basically, but it takes money to live in the capitalism system. It takes money to live here. You can't make it off $7.25. It's impossible. So the wage thing here is not being looked at, you might say, in a positive mode, because close to 70% of us make under the poverty level, or make from $7.25 to basically $12 an hour. That's what we make. And most of us do jobs, or service jobs, which is 66% we do service jobs. So that is really a problem. Where the whites do 13% service jobs, to 66%, that gap is a huge gap. But we don't look at nothing, we don't read nothing, we don't understand. We read sometime, and really just don't care as long as we can make it. You haven't overcome, we're nowhere close to being overcome yet. I understand one thing I do know about, we only spend 3% of our money in the African American neighborhood. 3%. That's all we spend on recycle, or the $1.1 trillion that we spend. So take a hard look at that. Everybody
okay,
to check.
We'll move along to the next contributor analyst, Susie out of the state of Virginia. We first talk about what's up in the neck of her woods. Susie, what's up in the neck of your woods?
Okay, here in Richmond, Virginia, there is several issues that's going on. One is the Hampton Sydney College closing because of illness, a virus that affected over 300 students, which they had to end up canceling class, which they're going to resume classes on Monday, and the health department is looking into what they think happened or what kind of virus it was that caused all these students to get sick. And also we have the General Assembly passed a bill called the Tebow Bill. And what the House of Delegates voted 57-41 to approve this bill. And what the bill allows the homeschool students to play sports in public schools, which will give them this discipline and the structure that is needed for team sports. That's just a couple of things that's going on here.
Yeah, also I think, Susie, I was in your state of Virginia, the city of Richmond, there have been a lot of talk about the governor, ex-governor. He has been giving they're going to retry his case, rehear his case, and he's been given extension to stay out of any kind of incarceration. What was the sentiment of the people in Virginia, particularly Richmond, when they made the decision to take a relook at his case and he would not have to serve no time right now? What was the general sentiment of that particular case?
I think the general sentiment is here we have a governor and they're going by the rules which they allowed to be able to do these things, for most people as a whole think he should be held accountable, because if it was them, you wouldn't be given the opportunity to be out of the system and working on your actual case. So most people feel that they need to, they shouldn't have never allowed him to be able to stay out and get a retrial, because he was found guilty from the beginning.
We're going to bring Mr. Emmanuel back. I know, Emmanuel, you have some legal background. In terms of looking at the ex-governor and how this trial been going, and what can you share with our audience, maybe some legal background in terms of what's really going on, and do you think it's fair for him to be given the kind of treatment that he's been given? What the understanding, his wife is scheduled to have her court case coming up, I think, in two more weeks. And they are talking about she's doing 5 years. What's your general sentiment of that, Emmanuel?
Well, I'm follow the case that close. But again, there's two sets of laws, two sets of people that do these laws, one black and one is white, let you know that up front. And when a prominent white person is involved, or Caucasian or European American is involved, the favorable decision or the undue decision is basically by a judge who had known him very well. This judge, conflict of interest don't mean a whole lot, but you can say one or two things. I just saw him at the golf club. I met him and shook his hand. That's it. So that doesn't make a conflict of interest with the law and that particular, this particular case. But what I'm hearing from your caller, that he is a powerful man at one time, evidently. He got a lot of friends in the legal system, and they're trying to show something, trying to do something different, because he might not stay in jail like he wants to a certain way. That environment is not inducive to the governor, and they know it. So there's people who are sympathetic about it, and people who are unsympathetic, because, again, the accountability is not there in the legal system. It's just who you are. If you're someone of any kind of prominent background, the legal system sort of bends. It bends for that particular person or persons or people, whatever. They don't mind sending the wife to jail. That's not a problem. But he is the one that you look toward doing something. They figure they can send a Martha Stewart. They definitely can send the governor's wife for 5 years. She'll probably serve 18 months of it at the most. But that's my take on it, that it's totally unfair. It's again, injustice being applied. Let you see right in front of your face that the privilege, get an opportunity to have a second trial where you don't, because crime does pay. The government spends $105,000 plus on each inmate per year. That's why they go into private enterprise, because it's only $65,000. So, again, they're making justice pay. They said justice don't pay, justice do pay. It pays the right people. But that's my take on that, it's totally unfair. He's a privileged person because of his former job as the governor of Virginia. And third, they don't mind sending his wife to jail. That's not a problem at all. Because she didn't do anything. She didn't start it. She hasn't done anything. She's just the first lady of the governor's mansion. So it's not a problem. It's called how much she sing. If she sing, they feel like they can maybe put him in jail for about 3 months at the most. But I don't think he'll stand up. But again, he's going to do everything he can to stay out of prison, out of the prison system. Everything he can, whether it's legal or illegal, that's what they're going to do.
Okay, speaking on the issue that you raised, Emmanuel, about the two sets of laws, the Maritime Laws has leaning towards a certain class or a certain perspective, depends on who you are financially. I'd like to share this. What's going on in Nicobar Woods in the state of Virginia, this incident dealing with University of Virginia and this rape case that goes on at these schools when it comes to these sororities and fraternities. Just for those who don't know, we'd like to share that the University of Virginia has contracted with an international security firm to guide vulnerable students to safety in neighborhoods near the campus. Other way, what the University of Virginia has done as a result of these allegations of rapes, they have contracted an international company to come in and communities where they feel like it's unsafe. They will have policemen, communities, to make sure that nothing happened to those students who have to go through those communities. I find that really interesting, again, how they victimize a lot of times the victims or communities that they consider underserved. What do you make of that, Susan Emmanuel? And then we'll go to our listening audience. We are talking about what's going on in Nick of Your Woods and Hot Topics. We open up our phone line up at 818-337-0016. Interviews are coming, please say 1, as well as the chat line is open. We'd like to hear your views on what's going on in the neck of your woods and some hot topics from your perspective. At the same time, we would like to remind our viewers that coming up on the 21st of February, we'll be having our first quarterly raffle drawing ticket fundraiser. You can purchase your tickets by calling 804-726-3217. That's 804-726-3217. Mrs. Paige Hiss will be having our first quarter fundraiser at 1 p.m. on the 21st of February. You can hear the winners and the announcement on WCLM 1450 AM. So again, we'd like to have your support. Your support is welcome. And don't forget, on the 21st, we'll be doing our first quarter raffle drawing. And for all individuals who like to support our activities and program, you can always send your contribution to P.O. Box 27762, Richmond, Virginia 23261. That's P.O. Box 82, Richmond, Virginia 23261. We thank you for your support, and right now we will go back to our contributors and analysts, and then we'll open up our phone lines to our listening audience. Now, Susie, we come back to you in terms of University of Virginia is right outside the city of Richmond. They have seen fit to hire an international security company. Some people may ask why international, but what do you make of that decision, Susie?
Okay, the only thing I'd like to say is it's surprising with the unemployment rate in around the surrounding area of the University of Virginia that they would want to go to an international security firm versus hiring a firm that's right in that community or that vicinity that's more familiar with the area and everything. You've got someone coming outside of that who has no idea what the whole community is about as a whole, then you're looking to cause additional problems because of the fact because they are not familiar with that surroundings.
Emmanuel, what do you make of this? Because for me, when I look at this, look like there's a real sophisticated way of, again, identifying underserved communities and people and put them under the light, under the spotlight, in terms of anything to deal with crime. When many times crime takes place in other areas, but not viewed in the same way. But what do you make of that decision, bringing the international security company coming to the communities and to be around those communities where they feel are not safe communities?
It's more like an academic escort service. And what they're doing, you say they're escorting the young ladies to different classrooms, which classrooms so far away. My thing is make sure they got cameras out there at all given times. You don't need the security if you got cameras out there. But physically speaking, as far as the money concerned, now these people, I would like to know the number for 365 days, how much a day that you have these 55, where they find the money from, where the money coming from. University is not paying. They'll break them into in 2 or 3 years. They can't pay that. But my assessment is the same as the other caller, your consultant, was that it's not something that they should be doing. Crime is defeated, basically, by the neighborhoods talking, keeping their own neighborhoods safe, not being alone. A lot of things happen out there when you're alone, especially single mom. So with security forces coming in, I think we need more alarm system response. I've got to be 5 seconds or less of response time. But I think cameras would do the job. I think it looks very, very, you might just say it's an area that can be concerned. But escorting students to class, that's something that's totally different. I'm against that.
Okay, we have our listening audience. They have dialed in. We'll go to our first caller. Caller, we'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Can you share with our listening audience what's going on in your neck of your woods or what hot topic you would like to present today? Caller 3330. Caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you for having me. And this is Jabari from Richmond, VA as well. And my point of interest for this afternoon is the fact that recently there was an announcement made in regards to the local Richmond City Council, our local legislature, in regards to a discussion about funding. Because recently there was extra funding that could have come up for Richmond Public Schools as a result of the local baseball team deciding to remain at the Diamond and not pursue relocation for the next 3 years. However, the mayor of Richmond wants to use the funds otherwise, so there's a bit of discussion going on, which is interesting because there are immediate needs that the school needs, but for whatever reason, the mayor has not made that a priority on his agenda. He says that he'll just go with what was advocated the previous year in regards to addressing school issues. So it's very interesting how this mayor often chooses commercial investment versus investing that can help the people as a whole.
Okay, caller, we'd like to thank you. And I think your position was, you're saying based upon there was some extra fundings available due to the fact that they did not get to ballpark in Chaco Slip. I believe that's what you're alluding to. And that funds could
correct
be diverted maybe to the public school system. But the mayor has chosen not to do that.
He
don't want to attach the money.
But the mayor does not have the same point of view. And a lot of times it's very interesting when he takes stance on issues, he tends to focus on what's commercial versus the interests of the people. And that's not just this incident, but it's just a trend in regards to the mayor of Richmond.
So it does raise the question of how committed maybe you be to trying to improve the quality of education as it relates to the city of Richmond when it comes to our young people. That's what you're raising, Carla?
Yes.
Hey, Manya, that's interesting in terms of how people allocate money. How politicians allocate money. Here there's a situation in Richmond where they have already established and have set aside X amount of monies, millions of dollars, to be placed to be given to a ballpark in the certain area. Now since that plan have not gone through, the residents want the mayor to redirect their money to the school system. And he's in opposition to it, but he really can't speak why not. What do you make of those kind of struggles that take place politically when you deal with different kinds of city administrations? What do they have to consider when it comes to something like that in terms of what is the best use of the money for development in communities in the cities?
Well, I just be on a referendum when this should happen because, again, it seemed like the money just asked my question from the last speech I gave was, well, where did the money come from to pay the security system? This might be some of the money set aside because pertaining to the system, not so much as high school, elementary, or middle school, but the colleges have an escort service, security escort force to work with these young ladies. That means they only care about the rape at the school at the moment. They are just a brush by thing. But my thing, I think, is totally incorrect to do that. I think the money should be before I have a meeting where they will do it, no matter how much money it is and where it should go, then list your priorities is where it should go. And make sure it goes there, which is, maybe $250,000 here, $250,000 here, $1 million here, $2 million. So they got $5 million for ease of math. How the $5 million going to be distributed? How it's going to be distributed? They're going to find a pocket to go into, believe me. This is what they do all the time. So the big thing is to make sure that someone attacked the agenda about the money, but didn't build the ballpark. Where is this money going? Where is the money going?
Okay, let's take our next caller, caller 4298. We're walking you to Missing Page of History. What's going on in Nick of your words? Call it 4298. Welcome to Mr.
Hello, this is
yes,
Robert
call.
Andrew Moses. Robert Andrew Moses coming to you from District Heights, Maryland, a special section in there in my liberated zone in my apartment in District Heights. It's a liberated zone. And I prepared something in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, who in London prepared something because he wanted to make sure he covered all the points and just not leave any points out. So I prepared something. And this is dedicated to Fred Hampton. Where's the party? Right here under your feet. What time is it? Everyone seems to be looking for sex, or they are having sex. They don't get none or don't want none. The love of sex and the love of money are the prime motivators in the social order. There is a correct way to do each and everything. The process must be properly connected to the goal or end. Nonviolent direct action is the preferred mode of production. Speak truth to power. Yet we don't want to expose our leaders to the wrath of the enemy. De facto, communism and marijuana are enemies of the state. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Communist ideas are antagonistic to fascism. The liberals and petty bourgeois intellectuals are agents of the fascists inside the movement for freedom and justice. They do what the real fascist 1% are not able to do for themselves. In other words, when the tide meets the road, it is the petty bourgeois intellectuals who actually carry out the interests of the 1%. They want to split the working class by attracting us to their limited sphere of influence, control us, and limit our ability to unite and defeat white power and its institutions and organizations. Thank you.
All right, Carl. We thank you for your comment, Carl. Thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History. All right, y'all, listen to Missing Pages of History. We are a biweekly program. You can hear us every Saturday noon at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. For more information, you can always contact us by email at missingpagehistory1@yahoo.com, or you can write us at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. We'd like to inform you that this community is trying to use information as a tool to help elevate our communities and our people to bring a better world for all mankind. This is Missing Pages of History, and always we come and speak truth to power and fill in our missing pages. Given the fact that we have a big event coming up and our time is dwindling, Emmanuel and Susie, I'd like for you to talk a little bit, Emmanuel. What is the state of the Super Bowl? How do you see the Super Bowl this year? What are some of the storylines of the Super Bowl, and what can our people expect, or how does the Super Bowl impact our communities, Emmanuel? Speak to the Super Bowl 2015.
Well, I can't wait. I take Seattle to win it. Glendale, Arizona starts at 6:30 tomorrow. A lot of political things in sports. $9 billion industry. $9 and $12 billion. Nobody reports the right numbers because you got to pay taxes. So no one talks about the right numbers, but between $9 and $12 billion energy. Some of the seats is going for $10,000. It's an event once a year, but I think it's healthy. The United States is for health concern. The big ticket items like beer, we buy 325 million gallons. That's a lot of revenue. Let's give me insight on what this thing is running. I have no idea what the cost per 1 minute, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds commercial. So I have no insight on those prices yet, just the ticket prices. It should be a great game. Richard Sherman, the defensive cornerback for the Seattle's wife, is due to have a child on the Super Bowl Sunday, so they ask him, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come across it. So his girlfriend told the police stay on the field, play the Nietzsche, so police, I hope he plays. After the hospital, they got a private jet waiting on him, and, you know, whatever, she had to be with Sunday. But other than that, the Super Bowl is, again, that's a mainstay, that's a fix. And I encourage everybody to watch it, to look at it again. Just watch the jargon, the conversation. Just everybody getting that due credit, which they really don't do that due credit. Other than that, though, Super Bowl, everybody should be here doing something with that. It's going to be a great Super Bowl. The participants are fantastic. Wade, Tom Brady,
right.
And of course Russell Wilson. Those two phenomenal men. Both of them have high character, and I love a lot of the players are very high character, like Russell Wilson is a high character person. So they know how to teach the media. But that's enough for me. Oh, one more thing. The Lynch fella who runs halfback, he said, I'm talking so they don't find me 29 times. You don't talk to the media. And that's contractualized to talk to the media. A lot of them very personal lives. But other than that, though, the Super Bowl should be everyone should be watching. I hope their team wins. Have a party. That's the big thing. Have a party. Make everything worthwhile.
Yeah, the female, how do you see the Super Bowl?
Okay, the only thing I can say about the Super Bowl, not that I'm necessarily a football person, but one thing I like the fact that Russell Wilson came out of the collegiate school here in Richmond, and he's the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm rooting for him to win because of the fact he's from my neck of the woods.
So you're saying you have a homeboy in Richmond, Virginia. So that's a Super Bowl connection there. Okay. In closing, for our final thoughts and everything, there's one particular hot topic, at least I'd like to for y'all to speak to. And I know, Emmanuel, you've been very aware of this health care, Obamacare health care plan, in terms of trying to make sure everyone has some kind of affordable health care. What's been going on with that? Just give our people an update on that one, just one of the recent changes that have taken place or improvements. I know people can register now, so just give us a general update on where are we at right now in terms of his plan, health care plan.
In very great shape, I think. 9.7 million people are paying their policy on time, which I think is fantastic. You have to watch for the fraud, especially Medicare, Medicaid fraud and Medicare. Because they're going to get paid by the federal government, so to sort of watch the price change. That's a huge thing. Hospitals are making, averaging the scam at hospitals, $2.5 million so far. And Medicaid fraud is accounting for $14 billion so far. $24 billion is on the table. So it's a lot, and it's where there's money at. People gravitate toward where the money is so they can get, find a way to get it on. But at the same time, also think about on your Medicare, avoid, costly mistakes. You got to be able to do this. That's where they're hitting also. One company, especially, it's a company that does dialysis, called DaVita. I reported a little bit on it last year. DaVita, one of the largest companies out there, the second largest out there. And you have to watch for the sneaky fees. The average sneaky fees last year, I think it was $2,467 on patient with hospitalized more than 5 days. But watch for the fees they start charging you. They don't use a lot of them. They can still be in charge. From the emergency room to actually being admitted, you'll be in charge. So always ask the people who are involved to make sure you talk to people who is in charge of billing. Make sure you do that before you get started. So I was trying to, I want to add one other thing with the colonoscopy. Men need to take that, and that's a huge problem with colonoscopy because what they do, they tell you what to take before you take it, or things, but don't tell you what to do afterwards. A lot of people get sick after they do colonoscopy, really sick. If you're dealing with colonoscopy, guys, right away, you got to drink at least 8 to 16 ounces of fruit juice right away. Of course, your body's been dehydrated. I'm trying to point out to you the trouble gaps in the colostrum medication. Understand that. What you do afterwards, eat a light snack, you got to do that afterwards. As soon as you feel able to do that, watch your supplements. Some things you can't take before, some you can't take after colostomy. So be careful. All I'm saying, be aggressive in what you do. Make sure that you have the right drugs after dehydration, because you'll fall. The blood sugar gets low and you just fall. So be careful about that. So we'll talk more about the Affordable Care Act as we go on for the year. I think Congress wants to try to repeal it. It's the fifth time. The right some to appeal it, but they have nothing to replace it. So you can't put almost 10 million people, you know, out in the air. That's where you pay it and you have no more insurance. So again, be careful. Watch for sneaky fees and also follow your daughter's orders, but don't be afraid to attack them and find more about what they're doing to you. It's up to you now.
Emmanuel, can I ask you just repeat the last part of your statement in terms of what you should do after you have had your colonoscopy?
Well, colonoscopy, after you have it, you've been dehydrated. Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. Explain it, because a lot of people we have taken those, because I have even been a victim of that. I had no idea there are things that we need to do afterwards, because no one from the hospital nor my doctor now informed me about this. So I think one of the things we want to do at Missing Pages is fill in those kind of missing pages that people need to know. So share that with our audience again, what they need to do afterwards.
So what you want to do, babe, the first thing you want to do is drink 8 to 16 ounces of fruit juice, because you've been dehydrated. And, of course, it walls off hypokalemia. Well, you don't want hypokalemia at all, because that'll make you fall. And, of course, what happens is low blood sugar. Then what happens during the day, you got to get up to 64 ounces during the day. Go to 40, go to 64. That's the number one thing you have to do, because you've been dehydrated. It happened to me. I fell. Knocked my teeth out. Broke my face in 28 places because I was dehydrated. Blood sugar got low, bam, I was gone. In the hospital 11 days. And the next thing you got to do, eat an energy bar or something, or bring a sandwich to the, you know, to the way you're having the operation. And you don't want to eat food that's high in content, or high fat content, because it's hard to digest those foods. So again, you need water right away, a light snack, and take a probiotic supplement, a probiotic one. So understand that. And all it's going to do is it's going to lower you, promote good oversight digestive health. At the same time, it's going to avoid your system being digestive, under digestion, so the food will not go out. But you have to make sure your digestive tract is on par. These are some things you got to take. Now, one, two, got to drink something real quick. I prefer juice over water. We'll drink at least 16 ounces, which is one pint, to basically 32 ounces of water. You got to do it right away. Then during the day, after about 2 or 3 hours, you're going to drink 48 ounces of water. So you get 64 ounces of water in your body. That rejuvenates the body totally. And avoid fat type food that has fat contents in it. Surely avoid that. But colonoscopy can be very, very dreadful. You're 2 or 3 days, you'll wonder why you have fallen or fell out somewhere or fainted. That's the reason, dehydration. When you have an operation, be sure that you do that. They're not going to tell you that because they want you back in the hospital again or fall and make more money. It makes sense. They tell you what's going to happen, what you need to do before. Don't take your medication. Don't do this. Don't do that. But what do I do afterwards? There's no printout basically after colonoscopy. There's no printout available. When you ask for one, oh, just go home and get some rest. Whoa, that's not the deal. You got to drink water to bring your body back up to hydration again. And drink 64 ounces of water, which is required every day, at least 64 ounces of minimum in some type of form. But juice, again, because what it does, see, when you're operating, your blood gets low. You want to bring it back up as soon as possible. That's what you want. Dehydration puts your blood into a low status. I hope you learned something from this. Again, we're going to spotlight some health issues on every program so people know what to do and how to do it and do it. Okay, host.
Okay, we'd like to thank all of our contributors, analysts, Susan Emanuel for Missing Page of History, and our listening audience for participating today as we discuss what's up in the neck of our woods and hot topics. As always, we'd like to invite you every other week on Saturday at 12 noon to come and dial along with us. Help us fill in some of these missing pages of our history. Until next time, please don't forget, our upcoming first quarter raffle ticket drawing take place on February 21st. And you can hear the winner's announcement on WCLM 1450 AM radio station. As always, we welcome all contributions by sending your contribution to Missing Page of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. All resources will be used to improve our communities. Until next time, let's always remember to try to strive to go forward ever, backward never, and do something positive for humanity. Until next time, we'd like to thank you for allowing us coming to your home. As we go out, we're saying, come and help us fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you.